Rumor has it that the Roman Colosseum was originally designed to hold just a single fan, the Emperor himself. But then someone got to thinking, maybe 50,000 fans watching would be more exciting than one. Something to think about the next time you watch the big game at home by yourself. It's time for some Vieira time. Introducing Panasonic's new line of Vieira HD TVs, with full HD enhanced picture quality, extra wide viewing angle, and crisp clear motion. It'll bring all your friends and family together like never before. Warning, 50,000 people may not fit in your living room, but you can certainly try. Panasonic, ideas for life. Welcome to the Jay and Jack Show, featuring Jay, Jack, and friends. This podcast features just about anything you could possibly think about.
Like sleeping and nasty shorts.
So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. It's the Jay and Jack Show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the first, well, the second Jay and Jack Show.
It is the second.
The second one, not the first.
Does this music seem loud to you, or is it just me?
It's
seems loud
compared to our mix. It was
yes.
I can't believe you don't like that music. I don't see.
You know, it's kind of it's like you and Indiana Jones. I kind of like it better the second time. So I'm kind of getting into it. Probably by a third time, I'm gonna hate it.
Okay,
so I'll hate it again.
So it'll be like a love hate off again off.
Yeah,
again,
you know, one week I like it. You know, kind of like you know, one week I'm depressed, one week I'm happy. One episode, happy, depressed. I'm not. Well, okay, I'm gonna make no guarantees. I'm not gonna be happy every single episode.
Okay, can I ask you? There's a question. I think it's a fair question.
Yes.
Have you had any tacos today?
No, I have not had tacos.
Okay, so I think we're off to a good start.
I'm in a chipper mood today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just happy.
Okay, well, Risk update. Who won Risk?
You won.
Me, because I'm awesome.
Who came in second, though? And I have to admit, where
you
I was
in second was almost a victory.
Yes, it was almost a victory. If I could have just rolled the dice a little better, I think I could have come back and won.
If you could have rolled the dice better, you would have had a much better game because you were terrible the whole time.
Just
rolling
got
dice.
Killed. Yeah. Just got killed. It was horrible. But that's like going to Vegas. Sometimes you win.
Yep.
Most of the time you lose.
But needless to say, Hitler got wiped out. Like
yeah,
crazy.
Hitler was taken out. He was toast.
Yeah. So Risk is fun. What else we've been doing? Work.
Working.
Yeah.
And then there's work.
Yeah.
And working.
Boring.
Mother-in-law went back today.
Yeah, how was that?
That was she went back.
It was really quiet
morning.
In the house today.
Yeah,
but it was without it wasn't a big
yeah.
Except when we were all sleeping.
Yeah,
which I guess is how you would prefer something like that. I guess.
I'm making no comments. No
chicken.
Yeah,
girl.
Yeah, I got a comment though.
Okay.
This style of wearing your pants has been around for a long time. And maybe it's just me getting older.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't mind. I know you. I know.
This is another rant about something.
It's a rant because the rant I made about the cell phones. It turned out I was right.
Well,
it just turned out that I was just Johnny on the spot.
No, not really. But okay,
that most people agreed with. And there's another rant I have about cell phones too. The price of cell phones keeps going up and up and up. If we had all just cut back on our texting and using the service, they would have to cut back their prices. It's supply and demand. If we say, you know, I'm not texting anymore, I'm not doing that, they would cut the phone. Cell phone bills are ridiculous. For you people.
Okay, let's just try, and keep,
don't
it, let's
pay
try and keep it the one rant a show instead of just a whole entire show.
Okay, I'll go on that next time, but I'll start my campaign for everyone to cut back on their cell phone.
I think we do
uses.
Really need to make Jack's Soapbox a regular segment on the show, just so you know you can have that outlet each time.
I thought
time.
It was going to be my rant.
Huh?
I thought we were going to call it something else.
Well, Jack's Soapbox was the original podcast.
That was
the first podcast we were going to do.
Okay, I'll say that for next week.
Okay.
I'll still be mad about it next week because I'll be getting the cell phone bill next
week.
You
don't ever not get mad about something the second you do get mad about it. It never ends.
Yeah, it is true. I will keep it going.
It's like an everlasting gobstopper.
Even when I get my way.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You'll still
I'll
be upset about it.
I'll still be upset because I'm just that way. But no, I've never understood this. I think it came out like 10, 11 years ago where kids wear their pants. Well, guys.
More than 10, 11 years ago.
Whatever it was, how they wear their pants all the way down. You get to see their boxers
or
whatever they're wearing.
Yeah.
I've never gotten it. Mm-hmm. Never understood it. Do women find this sexy? Do men find this sexy? Whatever your preference is, I don't care.
Uh-huh.
But is it something that is sexy? What is your opinion, Jay?
Because
I'm gonna tell you right now,
I show some boxer.
Yeah,
it's known. I show some boxer.
And I gotta be honest. Maybe because I'm older, I think people like that look like complete idiots. But that's just me. I go, you know, get a belt.
Well, okay, was there styles? Okay, let me ask you a question. Was there styles when you were a kid that, like, your dad or grandpa or something said, "That's stupid. Why are you wearing your clothes like that?"
Oh, yeah.
Or, like, can you name some of those styles?
Well, we all had the different colored Converse.
Okay.
And they go.
Well, like, what, one fit was one color and the other
no,
was
you just
different
wear,
color?
You'd have different color Converse all the time. But uh-huh. Or the. I really didn't get it. I wasn't really a trendy person.
Uh-huh.
I guess I wasn't really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Still not cool, but I was kind of. I guess I was more of the geek, but
yeah,
I never really got into the whole trend thing. I guess the letting your hair grow long.
Yeah, you had long hair. And I did big have old, I did, like, scruffy homeless guy beard.
Yeah, but I'm talking when I was a kid. I had long hair. I got into the whole hippie style of hair, and I know that a lot of people look at that and go, "You look like a girl."
Yeah,
and so, but that was when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Now, when people get into adulthood, I'm gonna say even adulthood. We'll say I'm not gonna say 18. I'll say 21 and above. If you're still wearing your pants down like that.
Uh-huh.
I think you look stupid.
Well, okay. In all fairness, didn't you have a big old scraggly beard when you were, like, in your 20s?
In my 20s?
I've seen pictures. It was, like, horrendous.
Yeah, but I just let it kind of grow. But that
it was disgusting.
But that was the look. But it was now it's the look like grunge. And it's but I did shave it off. I get tired of it, and I just said I couldn't control it.
Well, I was like, holy crap, that's you? You look like some guy from, like, Balboa Park or something.
Well, people thought I looked like a serial killer. Maybe I was.
And then your hair was like, and this is when Jack actually had hair, so it was like all afro, like out under his Padre hat. And
it was, I had a lot of thick, my hair.
Your hair was like insanely, it was just it's so weird.
That's when hair on me grew and I couldn't stop it.
Yeah.
And now it's like, well, there's no.
So you kind of like blew all of your hair growing early on.
I told you before, I wore all my good hair days were all under a hat. I blew it.
You did? You blew it.
But I guess the long hair, so the adults would sit there and go, but, you know, everyone has, every generation has something against it. They just don't understand, don't get, and I don't get it.
Okay.
I've never gotten it, but I'm not, like, kids can, they can express themselves. I don't care. Do whatever you want, but I don't have to like it.
Okay, all right.
But I'm just saying, I just want to know, women, do you find, I'm not saying I'm a kid.
Okay.
I'm saying 20, anyone 21 or over.
Okay.
Do women find that, they go, wow, that is a sexy look. Wow.
I don't think they go directly for a little bit of boxer showing, oh, that's totally sexy. But that's just kind of like the look, you know?
Yeah, because I know when I was younger, you wore shorts and your boxer showed, you would get yelled at by your parents.
Yeah.
Your parents would go, hey, tuck in your boxers. No one wants to see your boxers.
Yeah.
And so, you know.
Well, but also plus, the way they make shorts and jeans and stuff, just like it's how they're cut. They're not like cut like way high.
But back then, shorts were shorter than they are now.
From like leg up.
Yeah, but they were tight.
Yeah, they went up. Like,
they were Magna P.I. type
lower.
Shorts.
Yeah.
So it was harder to hide your boxers.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Than it is now. Now it shouldn't be a problem if you just got yourself
I'm saying, I'm not saying like low cut here. I'm saying low cut from the top part.
But if you got yourself a nice belt.
And it's like, it's just the way they're cut. I mean, I
see people hanging down like 4 or 5 inches.
Now that's just when it's like beyond their butt and it's like down to like.
Yeah, I've seen it on certain people.
The pelvic
too.
Area.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't wear that low.
Yeah. Uh huh.
All right. You can say that, but that's what I'm saying.
I'm not pointing any fingers at you.
Uh huh.
I'm not saying this to change your style if that's what you feel comfortable with.
Okay. I don't wear
if that's the way you feel comfortable, you should be able to wear it any way you want.
Uh huh.
I'm just thinking it looks stupid.
Well, I don't wear my pants or shorts that low. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. But some people do.
Some people have, they hang down like right here.
And it's, I don't get, okay.
It's for a style. It's
okay,
a look.
Someone, a mugger comes after you and you got your pants hanging down. What's going to happen? You're going to trip and fall and you're going to get your wallet stolen.
I guess. I don't, I've never been mugged. I've been punched in the face in a subway.
You have been punched in the face, probably because you're wearing your shorts too low.
No, I that was in the winter and I had like, not only like my jacket, but then I had like a super like parka jacket and then like pants, long johns.
But I'm cool. You know, this is America. Do whatever you want within reasons.
No, you can't kill people.
Can't kill
people. Unless they deserve it, you know.
Yeah, but you can't talk on your cell phone while you're driving.
Uh-huh.
I'm against that. But, you know.
You're a fascist. I'm just going to say right now.
If you're not hurting someone else, whatever you do in.
Call me a communist. I'm going to start calling you a fascist.
That's fine. But whatever you do in your own home, consenting adults in their own home, I have no problem with.
Yeah.
But when you're in public, as long as you're not hurting someone else, it doesn't bother me.
Okay.
But I just think you look stupid. That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm just expressing my opinion.
Okay, fair enough.
And then next week, we're tackling the cell phone problem.
It's all you've been doing.
And speaking of cell phone.
914. I don't know.
914.
Quiet it.
Who is it?
I don't know. 914. I don't know 914 number.
Could have been someone that said you won the $1 million and you just hung up on him.
914. Maybe like Jimmy from Comic News Insider.
Yeah, and you just hung up on him.
I talk to him. I talk to him on AIM all the time.
Yeah.
And he's trying to room with one of us at Comic-Con because he doesn't have a hotel yet, the slacker.
I'm sorry, I got my own room. Mm-hmm. The hotel mom.
So we're going to Comic-Con this year. You getting excited?
I'm excited.
Plane tickets.
Have you talked to the other two people about what we plan on doing? Because we talked to Ralph yesterday.
What are we planning on? Huh?
What we planned on.
Oh, no. Not yet.
Okay.
We'll, though.
Okay.
We'll talk about it.
All right. then it's a secret right now. We're not saying.
Yes.
Anything.
Today we
also okay. We've had a lot of emails and a lot of comments on the hybrids.
It's not a lot. It's mainly like a couple people on the forums.
But there's been a couple
been discussion about it.
A couple of emails, and I see everybody's point.
Mm-hmm. About the pickup artists with Cliff.
Pickup artists with Cliff. I think if it's funny because we got one email and someone was saying how we were making jokes. I thought he was joking at first,
because
I had no idea what he was going to talk about. I had no clue, and then. Then I go, okay, he's serious. Which is fine. You know, I kind of got into it at the end. So we decided.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about what we talked about before we came
Well,
in?
It's since we're showing, you know, a segment about, you know, guys trying to build their confidence to talk to girls. And we do realize that pickup artists, there is like this whole like subculture where it's just all about getting notches on a bedpost, which is not what Cliff's is about.
No,
it's just about
I honestly believe that. You just said Cliff again.
Hybrid, whatever.
Hybrid.
He's not here right now, so he can't get
mad
at me.
Man, you just... He just sells people out left and right.
But yeah, I mean, he's really just doing it to kind of build your confidence to talk to girls.
Because he's not a very confident guy.
Yeah.
He's kind of shy.
He's a shy guy.
Yeah.
So it's just about him working, you know, his ability to talk to girls and stuff like that, because it is scary.
So we were thinking that, you know, we don't have a lot of women issues, because it's something new we're starting. You know, we're trying to get different segments and stuff like that.
Yeah.
We have the music segment with Colleen, the Ralph segment, and, you know, we're going to have it with Ryan and Jen are going to be doing different segments.
Yeah.
We're thinking that every now and then, if... One of you ladies out there would like to try and do a segment
to you know, talk or cater to, you know, our lady
or anything, any type of thing would interest ladies, or, you know, anybody, I guess, that you could audition, send an audition tape, something you want to do, and then we could go and
So if you have some kind of recording equipment and want to send an audition for a lady centered segment,
we make no guarantees,
to make all things fair, which is what we're about. Then, you know, send in your segment idea along with, you know, maybe five minutes, an idea on what your segment wants to be.
And then we'll put it up there. And
if we feel that it kind of works with what we're trying to do, then we'll...
Because we're here, we're running a democracy here.
Yeah.
We want everyone to be happy.
We're not all fascist like Jack.
No. Or communist like Jay.
Question. Okay.
Yes.
If you really, you know, had to be like one thing... Like, you know, would it be communism or like be a fascist? What would you be? Either or. What do you think appeals to what you like? If you were like a dictator or something.
Well, I wouldn't be a dictator.
Okay, but what if you were and you had to be?
I couldn't be a dictator.
Why not?
Because I like people to have their own.
Okay, but if you had to be fascism
but
or
I
communism.
But I couldn't say that because I wouldn't want to be either one.
But if you had to be, gun to your head.
Gun to my head. Well, in the true sense of communism,
mm-hmm.
how it's supposed to work.
Yeah.
I guess.
Well, in that case, you wouldn't be a dictator because communism, everyone would be.
Right.
You know, the leader.
I guess that would be it, but I don't believe in that, so it doesn't matter.
Okay.
I'm more.
So fascism, you're fascist.
I guess. Whatever you want to call me, but I'm more of a. I'm a man of the people.
Uh huh.
That's what I'm for.
Okay. So you're like for everyone getting their hair back?
Yeah.
That's hey, how was you watched John and Cape Plus 8 and their hair transplant?
Oh, my God. That was
so
painful.
What was that like? I didn't even see it because I think I was doing something with the
Well, you know,
probably.
It's funny. Cliff had told us about that, like, what, 3 months ago?
About the hair transplant? Yeah. Because Cliff has watched because he edits it.
He edits.
He looks him
edits
months
it.
In advance.
It's not to be confused with hybrid.
No, yes. That's not the same
not
guy.
Not same guy. Anyway, so now I'm watching it, and I'd never seen a hair transplant before. Well, it took like 6 hours, 7 hours, something like that.
What do they do?
Well, they cut the back of your head of. And they get like a whole bunch of grafts, little things.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they're poking you in the head. So I'm watching this going, wow. And he's like in the chair for like 7 hours.
Is he awake while they're doing that? Or they have him knocked out?
They haven't. He's awake. Well, it's funny. He fell asleep, but he can feel it, but you can't feel the.
That's worse for me. Like when you can like just feel there's something going on, but you can't feel it. That's weird.
Yeah, he was like I don't know. I didn't hear. I missed that part where I came walking
in. So he wasn't like fully knocked out.
No, he was. Still, okay. Then he put on. He wasn't supposed to put a hat on afterwards, and he put a hat and he pulled one out, started bleeding because he was still kind of loopy. I guess what happens, I didn't realize this, first month, they all fall out.
Really?
But then the grafts inside grow, and then your hair grows back, and it's your hair.
Now, does it look real, though, or does it still look like there's little sprouts coming out of it?
I don't know. I haven't seen it yet.
I didn't know. Maybe they like showed it on the show like afterwards or something.
No, I guess it takes like a full year for it to get strong.
A full year, really?
Yeah, so. But I'd do it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but I'd need a lot of grafts.
Yeah, like where they get, I mean, it's not like grass where they go like butt hair or something like that, do they? Or do they get like real hair from like the back of your head?
No, it's the back of your head.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I get a lot back there. But
see, like, is the hair on the back of your head the same as the hair on the front of your head? Isn't it like more rough back here or something?
Just the way they cut it.
Oh, okay. I mean, I don't know if it's like different or something. Well, I'm just
Why
saying,
would it be different?
If like your hair is like used to being like down like this all the time, and then you take those grafts out, they'll still be used to like going back like that, and they'll look all
weird.
But
what bothered me, I said, the follicles up there, whatever died,
did make
the hair fall out or just not keep regenerating or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Won't that just happen again?
Or like, what do you mean?
Well, you put the grafts in.
Okay.
Whatever killed it up there.
Yeah.
Whatever you're lacking up there. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't do that much research on it, but... Wouldn't it just die again?
No, I think like it dies, and then it's like a full head of hair, and it grows in, right?
Yeah.
That's what they're, hair is dead.
Hair is dead. What's on top is dead anyway, right?
Yeah, it's like what's in the root.
It's what's
that's
in
growing,
the root,
right?
It's growing, but I'd do it.
Uh-huh.
But I'm thinking he had more hair than I did, and it took 7 hours. I'd be there for like a week.
Yeah, because, I mean, you would have to basically do like the whole top of your head to get it back.
Well, I'd have to probably have the same I'd have to have the receding hairline until I got more hair in the back, and then they could do the...
Oh, so they don't even do it all? They just do like the
well,
same
no, they do.
First?
They put it where you have to go in and get a test first, see if it can even be done.
Yeah,
because your hair follicles might not be
up to par.
Yeah, might not be able to do it.
Yeah,
you have to go through a test. But I'm thinking, if you have the money, you pass.
They say how much it costs to do that?
You know, I didn't even see it. Oh. I think he got it donated.
Oh, really?
They get a lot of things.
Well,
donated.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff they get on the show is like donated to them.
Yeah, because they have six. They have like 18 kids.
Yeah,
so.
One of the
they get some breaks, I guess, but I still...
But, you know, six kids, nope. You get nothing, but eight.
Eight, yeah. You get your own TV show. And
all right, Jack.
What's funny, because he said what I said. I guess he said that when you start losing your hair the day you got married. What have I been saying? I can
Well, rumor has it Kate's kind of a tough...
She's a tough one.
Yeah.
And she's anal about cleaning up, but she has 50 kids running around the house, but she's anal about how her house looks.
Well, I guess, isn't there a certain point as a parent where you have to like, okay, well, I'm not going to win this battle?
Yeah, sometimes you have to, but she is tough, and she. Uh-huh. But I guess if you have eight kids...
Yeah, I mean, you have to be really strict.
You have to have some kind of structure. It's like having an army. I mean, you got to keep everybody in line. It's funny, because I didn't like the show when I first... I said, this is stupid.
Yeah.
But now I'm kind of into it.
Okay.
I don't know why.
But I think it's like any of those kind of reality shows, like eventually you get like attached to, or like you build a bond with
It's like Little People, Big World.
Yeah.
I like that show, and...
Mm-hmm.
It's a good show, and
I think it's like eventually you actually care about the characters.
Yeah, you do care, and I do care about them and stuff like that. I like John.
Mm.
Kate, what about? She scares me.
I still haven't watched it.
I'm gonna tell you right now. Kate saw the way you wear your pants.
Uh-huh.
I think she'd object.
Really?
Yeah, I think she would. I think she'd let you know.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, she actually comes down to Cliff's studio. I should actually just go there, and we should tape that for a vidcast.
Does she actually come down to the studio?
I think so. Yeah.
Really?
I think that's what Cliff said. I think.
Well, Cliff probably
doesn't. I mean, I'm sorry. Oh, no, Cliff.
Yeah, Cliff. That is Cliff at the studio. Not to be confused with.
All right, so today we have, for the explicit feed, we have the Married Man segment, which is coming up next.
I've heard it.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, I was there? It is explicit.
Yes. So if you want to listen to the Married Man segment, if I edit it down, it's just not going to make any sense. So we're just going to leave the Married Man segment for the explicit feed. Which, if you want to listen to that one, subscribe to the Married Man podcast. That's going to be the explicit Jay and Jack feed.
Okay.
So
that won't be on with this one.
This won't be on where you're listening to it on the Lost podcast feed.
Okay.
But it'll be like the regular.
It's still going to have its own feed.
Yes. So if you want to listen to the Married Man segment, check out the Married Man podcast on iTunes.com. You'll have the uncut Jay and Jack show.
All right. It's Married Man
podcast.
And
eventually that will say the Jay and Jack show uncut.
Right.
All right.
Because it is explicit.
It is explicit.
And if you like pancakes, and who doesn't? You're gonna love this episode.
Yeah.
You never thought
Dale's at his best. You know, Dale doesn't matter. It's
you're really not. You really didn't think pancakes could go that low. You really thought just pancakes were fried little, you know.
Yeah.
You know, cakes of joy. You know, but
only Dale can turn.
Because we had pancakes. We had pancakes the next day, and I couldn't help but think about what he was saying. I'm like going, man, it's something as wholesome as pancakes.
Dale can turn anything as wholesome as, you know, apple pie into something.
Well, it is
terrible.
Like the movie American Pie. They took apple pie and made it go. It took me a long time before I could eat apple pie again.
All right, Jack, what do you say we get into the married man segment?
I say we do.
And for those of you on the Lost Podcast feed, let's get into Ralph's movie segment.
Let's do it.
All right, here we go. All right, welcome to Ralph's Movie Review with Ralph from the Dharma Lars. Welcome, Ralph.
How's it going, guys?
Pretty good, pretty good. How is the Lars going, the Dharma Lars off-season podcast?
We were supposed to record an episode of the Lars tonight, but I decided that I was too tired. So I'm sure once Ben hears that I recorded with you guys, he's going to feel like I stabbed him in the back.
We'll say we did this 2 days ago.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Hey, do you guys have any new shirts out?
Yeah. I wish this was a video podcast because I'm wearing my shirt and I'm showing you guys, but
that's pretty sweet.
Head over to shopsamine.com and you can get your Dharmalar shirts as well as your Jay and Jack Army shirt. Yeah. What is it called? The Army.
Which I'm wearing right now.
Are you really?
Yeah, but anyway.
Soon to come.
Well, we don't know yet. So Sam hasn't gotten back to us. So
come on.
Sounds like someone's getting new shirts.
It's very early.
It's a campaign we're starting.
Cool. So each week we're gonna try and do a movie review with Ralph here. Mm-hmm. Ralph is kind of a movie guru. If you listen to our autism podcast, he had like 10,000.
His top 10,000 movies of all time.
Yes. Yes.
Which I slept through like 5 hours of it, but I caught like the last 50.
Yeah. I am a movie guy. I mean, I'm not saying I'm the authority on film, but I do love movies. I have something like 700 DVDs and like 45 Blu-ray movies. I just love movies. So I'm not like a critic where I can like, you know, I don't talk about like metaphors or symbolism or stuff like that. I just kind of talk about movies and their expectations and if those expectations were met or not. So,
Okay. Well,
that's kind of my angle.
Speaking of expectations met or not, it's kind of going around through, at least I think our little podcast community, that you didn't really like Indiana Jones, Crystal Skull.
You said that I didn't really like. How about I really didn't like Indiana Jones.
I still have not seen it yet.
Jack, I would go as far as to say you can probably wait.
Now it can't be as bad as the third part of the Pirates of the Caribbean.
You mean Pirates 3?
Yeah.
Yes, it's not as bad as that.
Okay.
But I really didn't like Pirates 3.
I did not like it either. I liked the first two, hated the third one.
What about now comparing? I think Ark.
It's fourth.
Right, is it fourth? Really? Wow. I would say better than Temple of Doom.
No hesitation.
Oh, man.
No way. I rewatched Temple of Doom recently with the fact that it's a prequel in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at Temple of Doom and watch Indiana Jones' character in that movie, it takes place before Raiders.
Yeah.
And if you look at the beginning of that film, Indiana Jones is kind of a jerk. He's self-centered. He's all about fortune and glory. He's all about himself. And as the movie progresses, you see that he becomes a changed person, and he's more about saving the kids. He doesn't have to save the kids. He was only there to get the stones, and he was going to save one for himself. Because he was going to take the other two or take one of them and just give the one to the people. But as the movie progresses, he ends up with none of the stones. He ends up with one stone and ends up giving it back to the people that were looking for it.
Uh-huh.
So it's an actual cool character arc so that by the time you get into Raiders, it's a different Indiana Jones than what you saw originally at the beginning of Temple of Doom.
Then what about in the beginning of Last Crusade, they show like Rivers Phoenix Indiana Jones, but he's more of the selfless, this, you know, belongs in a museum type of thing instead of for himself.
Yeah.
But he's just a kid, though.
That's a strange thing. I haven't thought of that.
But he's a kid.
Well, I'm yeah, just
kinda,
saying,
it kind of squashes. It kind of does squash what happens in Temple of Doom.
But yeah. When you're younger, though, you're more. You think you're more. The money doesn't come.
But the way they kind of set up was that he kind of always had that. You know, I'm going to do what's best for.
Yeah, but you always have that when you're younger, and you kind of change as you get older.
I'm not saying what in life. I'm just saying like the movies. That's the way the movie.
Well, that's
set
what
it
I'm
up.
Saying. Yeah. As a character, he probably changed. He probably something happened to him where he said, "And I'm out for myself."
Yeah, right.
I would be like Jay.
okay, I didn't like it.
What was about that you just didn't like? I thought it didn't live up to like, you know, Last Crusade, but I didn't expect it to. I thought it was a decent fun movie.
My main problem was that Indiana Jones had four sidekicks.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, Indiana Jones didn't have much to do. It seemed like his four sidekicks, the four additional people that are hanging out with Indiana Jones are they're kind of doing all the work for him, and he's just a standard by. Like, he's just standing by watching.
He's like 70.
Yeah, it's true. But you know what? You know what's funny is they throw in an old joke at the beginning of the film. You know, like, oh, you're old. You know, they say it a couple times, but immediately at the beginning, it's established that he could still swing from the rafters on his whip and do all the shooting the guns and getting into the action. So they take away that aspect of the movie from the very beginning. If you've seen Rocky Balboa or the latest Rambo movie, Sylvester Stallone understands that he's, you know, in his 60s, and he takes the character and what he would be like in his 60s, and it's a really cool concept, what he does. And it gets to the point where there's no way a 60-year-old would do this, but with enough motivation, that character is going to persevere and, you know, just deal with the task at hand. Whereas mm-hmm. in Indy, they don't play up his age at all. It would have been nice to see him be like, you know what, I'm not going to, I can't go out there and do the same old thing I used to. Mm-hmm. But have something like his relationship with Mutt, have that spark his interest again.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have any of that. I love the relationship between him and Mutt, who is Shia LaBeouf's character. And I would have liked to see more of that as opposed to having four sidekicks.
Okay, I can understand that. But even in Last Crusade, he had Sala, what's the other old guy's name, and his dad, and Indy.
Marcus, but the thing is, with Sala and Marcus Brody, they only met up with him at the end. They were kind of off on their own, where Indiana Jones was with his dad. But, you know, Indiana Jones
was Sean Connery.
Indiana Jones had his father's diary and was doing all the detective work. And then when he met up with his dad, he said, "This is all the stuff I learned that you were trying to learn in your diary." And from there, they have a chemistry, and they actually go and they do their they unravel the mystery together.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, they meet up with Sala and Marcus Brody in the tank when they're on their way to the actual place where the Grail is. So. Yeah. It's essentially, it's got Indiana Jones unraveling the mystery as the movie goes on, where in this movie, the Oxley character already unraveled the mystery, made it to the final destination. And so by the time Indy gets this information, he doesn't have to do any kind of unraveling of any mystery. It's just everything is laid out for him.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get to see Indiana Jones figure it out.
Okay, that's understandable.
Now, Jay liked it the second time better.
I liked the second time a lot better.
Have you seen it just once?
I hear that a lot, too. I'm going to, if they release a nice Blu-ray box set for Christmas that includes Crystal Skull, then I'll watch it again. But I can't see myself just buying it on its own.
Because you'll buy it because you're thinking, hey, I'm not really paying for this one. It's like the 30% free.
Like a couple years ago, I bought the Alien box set of the Alien movies.
Yeah, and the fourth one, I didn't really care.
I really didn't like Alien 4, but because it came with the box set, I was fine with that.
Yeah, exactly.
I wouldn't run out and buy Alien 4 on its own.
It's like you, I think you, was it you or the family bought me Planet of the Apes series?
Oh, yeah. I got you the Planet of the Apes series.
Yeah, the first two are great.
The rest are.
You would never buy Battle for the Planet of the Apes on its own.
No.
But if it came with Escape from Planet of the Apes and the original, then that's cool.
Yeah, and I'll watch it.
How are you liking Blu-ray? Because I haven't used it myself, and I know you've talked about on the Dharmalars how you're really starting to build up your collection.
It's back when I got my first DVD player, I was buying DVDs like nuts, and people were giving me DVDs. That's all I got for my birthday. I absolutely fell in love with it because everything was letterboxed and everything was crisp and clear.
Yeah.
It's the same thing now with Blu-ray. I cannot stop buying them.
Do you feel like the same thing like when you watch VHS to DVD? Like, do you have that same feeling from going from DVD to Blu-ray?
Oh my God, look at the difference.
It's the difference to me personally is that jump from VHS to DVD. It's, for me, it's the same as DVD to Blu-ray.
Wow, that is a pretty big jump.
I've never seen anything on Blu-ray, so.
Neither. Oh, I think when we watched with Jorge, we watched Lost Blu-ray, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you guys come to Anaheim and go to Disneyland before you go to Comic-Con, you should stop by. Me and Stevie are getting a new place, which is actually closer to Disneyland. Stop by and I could show you some awesome stuff on Blu-ray. It's incredible. It's incredible.
Yeah. Nice.
But now I feel left out.
You should feel left out.
I feel like I'm just behind on technology.
I want to wait and I want to try and get a PlayStation 3 because I want to play the new Ghostbuster game coming out.
Yeah, definitely get the PS3. That's the best way to get Blu-ray. It's easily the best.
Ghostbusters game is going to be awesome.
It's going to be horrible. Dude. I'll tell you, right now it's going to be horrible.
Are you excited about it? Comic-Con, the original Ecto-1 is going to be there along with Harold Ramis and I think Dan Aykroyd are going to be there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
I suppose I am excited.
Are they going to have a panel?
I think so. There's going to be some big announcement for Ghostbusters there.
Is it for the video game or the movie?
Because the rumor has it, Ghostbusters on Blu-ray, possibly Ghostbusters 2 on Blu-ray, the entire...
They're both owned by Sony, so they're coming to Blu-ray.
Yeah. The entire real Ghostbusters cartoon series on DVD, an entire set, the Ghostbusters game, some other crap. But those are kind of the big ones that are more than likely going to happen. It's supposed to be big announcements at Comic-Con. Cool. So
now, would you buy Ghostbusters 2 outright, or would you just wait for the...
I like Ghostbusters 2.
I would get a box set for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't buy it on its own.
Ghostbusters is great.
I like Ghostbusters 2.
The first one was great. The original, second one.
I wish there was some way I could do my Ghostbusters 3. I sent you that, right, Jay?
Yeah.
My idea for Ghostbusters 3. What'd you think about that one?
I think it's great. I think it's cool.
I think you showed it to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. I think that's kind of what they're doing with the new one. They're bringing in new people to kind of help.
Have all new Ghostbusters who are trying to set up their own franchise. And it's kind of cool like to see what it takes. You know, you get some training videos from Ghostbusters headquarters, but have something big enough, so big that the new Ghostbusters can't take care of it. So they get all the different franchises together to come in and have this huge Ghostbuster war against this giant creature. And then have the original Ghostbusters come out of the corporate offices to head up the big battle at the end.
That'd be sweet.
Now, Bill Murray might need some money. So,
is he doing the third Garfield movie? I'm sure he. I'm sure he wouldn't mind doing Ghostbusters. I don't know. He seems to be against it, but
he's the one that's been killing it the whole time. All the ideas they've had, he says. No,
forget him. Kill off his character. If he's gonna be that way.
All right. So, as far as for Ralph's movie reviews, do you have a new movie that maybe was released last weekend that came out that you want to give your review to?
I have two movies that I've seen.
Okay.
The first one, I'll make it quick. It's a film called The Foot Fist Way, mm-hmm. which is a movie that's kind of an independent film, so it's probably going to be hard to find. I'm not sure where wherever you are on the globe, but listening to the show, but it's a It's a movie starring Danny McBride, who appeared in Hot Rod. He was the ramp builder in Hot Rod. He's also going to be.
I know who you're talking about.
He's going to be showing up later this summer in Tropic Thunder and Pineapple Express. It's a movie that he did, I think, 4 years ago. And apparently it was slipped to Will Ferrell and his Will Ferrell's director buddy Adam McKay, and they've been watching it for years, and they decided to release it theatrically. So if you get a chance to see it, it's the best way I can describe it is it's a rated R version of a Napoleon Dynamite type of film about Taekwondo.
I think I saw that advertised somewhere.
Probably on MySpace.
Yeah, it's probably what it was. Yeah.
It's the funny parts are really, really funny, but there's a lot of slow parts and very awkward moments. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, if you guys have Netflix or if you guys go to Blockbuster or anything, definitely rent it when it comes out.
Now, you mentioned Hot Rod. I've seen it. What did you think of it?
I love Hot Rod. It's bizarre. It's awkward, but there's something about it that I enjoy.
I just didn't find it funny. I was the whole time I was sitting there thinking, okay, you got Ian McShane and you got Sissy Spacek. Could they not get another job? I mean, two great actors, and I'm like going, and I like the whole cast. I go, why is this not working for me? To me, it would have worked better as a digital short.
Yeah, I think those guys kind of have this this kind of strange audience where it's definitely a different kind of humor.
Yeah, and I like wacky kind of out there humor, but I was like, maybe I was just tired that day, but we're all watching it going, all right, this just isn't, I mean, none of us were, you didn't see it, but
I didn't see it.
I think if you're in a large group of friends and you're kind of in the right mood, it'll strike you as funny, but you I went with Ben and Stevie and like four other friends of mine on a Friday night when it first opened up. It was the opening night, and everybody was there kind of in the right mood, and we had a blast.
I mean, it had some funny parts, but some I'm just like going, okay.
That just didn't work.
That didn't work. Yeah. The part where he fell down the hill, I thought was pretty funny.
Where it kept going.
He kept falling. I thought, okay, that's pretty funny.
Oh, man. Yeah. All right, so what is it, the drop kick in the face around the corner?
It's called the foot fist way.
The foot fist way, okay.
Yeah, and I don't have a rating system. I just realized I don't have a rating system.
Wow, you guys come up with one right now. We do four thumbs. Oh, man. So.
Oh, for now, I'll give it, out of five thumbs, I'll give it 3.5 thumbs.
Okay.
Okay, all right. Three and a half thumbs, okay. All right, then next movie.
The next movie I saw this weekend was, now I can't even remember the full name. Don't Mess with the Zohan.
Yeah.
That's Adam Sandler, right?
It's Adam Sandler, and it's a movie written by Robert Smigel, who you guys know is Triumph the Insult Comic Dog.
Oh, yeah, and he also does TV Funhouse on SNL, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Adam Sandler co-wrote it. Mm-hmm. And so did Judd Apatow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Did you get to check it out?
No, I didn't. I was on grandma duty. So I
now,
saw
before,
it.
Before you say anything, when I first saw the previews, I'm thinking, all right, because I usually like Adam Sandler movies. I go, I don't think I'm going to like this one. I have to tell you,
this is very different than any Adam Sandler movie I've ever seen, and I've seen them all.
Really?
Yes. I can't even describe the kind of out there comedy that's involved in this movie, with the exception I can describe to you one scene, and this is how the movie kind of goes at points. He plays hacky sack with his friends with a live cat. So it's pretty far out there, and it's established really early on that it's really far out there, because when you first meet John Turturro, who plays the main villain, he's kind of waiting in his lair for Zohan, because Zohan just infiltrated the compound. He breaks into the main lair where John Turturro's character, whose name is, I believe, I want to say the Oh, I forget already. He's called the Phantom, I think. I think. He's got a very mysterious name. Anyway, he busts into the room, and John Turturro is crouched on all fours on the ceiling.
Okay.
Then he stands up, runs along the ceiling, and jumps out the window.
Okay.
It's very bizarre. I would say it's kind of like an Austin Powers type of thing, where it's just like the character is way, way out there.
Uh-huh.
My main problem with the movie is that it kind of strays from that from time to time. So it kind of feels like bogged down. Like, he comes to America to become a hair designer. Uh-huh. He works, and it kind of slows down. It kind of turns into a regular Adam Sandler comedy. But when you've had stuff like this, where you have John Turturro versus Adam Sandler doing paddleball in the ocean with a grenade, you know, it's like, this is like really far out there. By the time you get to New York, it just turns into a regular Adam Sandler movie. So it feels really slow. Like, the pacing issue is in this movie. The pacing is really off.
So do you really feel like it's like the kind of the later Beatles songs, where you could tell like where Paul McCartney's writing a part and John Lennon's writing a part? Could you feel that watching this, like, okay, this is the part Adam Sandler wrote, and like that kind of thing?
I would never compare this movie to the Beatles, but
I'm just saying, like, you know how you could feel like who wrote what.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But I tended to gravitate more towards the out there zany stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I saw John Turturro on the ceiling just standing there, I was like, oh my gosh, this is ridiculous, and I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
But when it got to the part where he's like, you know, walking around Central Park with a girl, and you know he likes the girl, it slowed down. It slowed down a bit. So I would say, if you're really a big-time Adam Sandler fan, I would say head out to the theater and check it out. If you're kind of just a, you know, regular Adam Sandler fan, I would say wait.
Really?
I would say wait.
What would you rank it up with, like The Waterboy or...
Well, Click and Mr. Deeds, and those were lame, I thought.
Yeah, I didn't even watch Click.
Click was okay. You know, okay, here's a good example. You know how Click is like, is really funny, but then it gets to a point where you're just like, oh, this is kind of too serious?
Yeah, kind of depressing.
imagine if you take those serious parts and sprinkle them all throughout the movie.
Really?
Yeah. Weird. It's a very, very oddly paced movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, if you go into it with the right mindset, it throws you into a pretty wacky world, and it's a lot of fun.
Okay.
All right.
So how many thumbs would you give it?
I would give it, out of six thumbs, I would give it three. just because the funny stuff, the highs are really high, but the lows are really low.
Okay.
So it's like 50-50.
Were you disappointed when you left the Were you disappointed when you left the theater, or?
I wasn't really. I really laughed a lot. I thought it was, there was a lot of really funny parts, but I think that they could have dropped out maybe, you know, a half hour to 40 minutes of the movie.
So is that the part Judd Apatow wrote, the extra 30 minutes?
You know what? That could be because all his movies always last 30 minutes too long.
Exactly.
Well, you know, a lot
except for Superbad. I like Superbad a lot.
No, yeah, Superbad. That's a very funny movie. Yeah. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah.
But I think
that was a good time wise.
Yeah, a lot of Adam Sandler movies don't do well with the critics. They don't like them, and the ratings, like, if you look on cable, they get like 1.5 stars. Like The Waterboy, I take it for what it is. It's not Shakespeare. It's not The Tempest. But it's something that I just take it for what it is. It's fun. It's just a funny movie.
Yeah. It's just, I feel like some of the later ones, like Mr. Deeds and Click, and they just kind of got a little too serious.
I like Mr. Deeds. I like Steve Buscemi in that. He has the crazy eye.
Mm-hmm.
John Turturro plays the butler, and he's like, where he's very fast.
Yes.
There's stuff about Mr. Deeds I like. And I'm going to recommend this to you guys. If you haven't seen it, check out the original Mr. Deeds Goes to Town, starring, I want to say, not Cary Grant. Maybe, no, not Cary Grant. Who's the other guy? Can I think of his name?
Cooper?
Grant?
Not Cary. Who played Grant. Lou Gehrig?
Gary Cooper.
Gary Cooper.
Gary Cooper.
Is it?
I think I have seen it.
Yeah, it's an excellent movie. It's one of those old black and white movies that the comedy still holds up.
Yeah.
But yeah.
All right.
If you're going to check out any Adam Sandler movie, check out Mr. D Goes to Town, which is not an Adam Sandler movie.
With Gary Cooper, starring Adam Sandler.
Gary Cooper. Is it Gary Cooper? Yeah, I highly recommend that movie. It's very funny.
All right. So that's our first Ralph movie review today. How did you feel about that, Ralph?
Yeah, I feel okay. I feel like if I make my song, and
you gotta have a song.
But next week is The Hulk, The Incredible Hulk, as well as The Happening, which I'll be seeing both of those.
Ooh, sweet.
So I'll have those reviews for you. I'll have a song, hopefully, and I'll also have a rating system.
You know, it's funny
that's exciting. I'm excited. I'm excited for that. I'm already ready to listen next week.
I didn't want to see the. I didn't want to see the first one. I was a fan of the TV show.
Yeah.
I didn't want to see the first. For some reason, I want to see this one. I don't know
why. You know why that is?
It's that they have the theme song in it.
Yeah, they had this theme song from the original TV show. Also, it's following the TV show. It's kind of doing a similar style, but Lou Ferrigno is the voice of the Incredible Hulk.
Oh.
I didn't know he did the voice. Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's doing the voice for the Incredible Hulk. So.
Oh, nice. Cool. Yeah, because I didn't like the first one that much. It was really boring. I thought.
Yeah.
Did you like the first one?
No, I didn't like it that much.
Yeah.
I never even watched it.
That's what Zohan is like. Zohan is like the parts of the Incredible Hulk where you don't see the Hulk.
Yeah.
When you see the Hulk, it's really awesome. But when you don't see the Hulk, it's a little slow and kind of boring.
Gotcha. Makes sense. I like that analogy. All right. So, Ralph,
that works for me.
Yeah. Thank you for stopping by today. We look forward to next week's song. Definitely. Rating system and The Hulk and The Happening.
How do you like Raleigh?
Raleigh is great.
All right, Ralph.
I love it here.
A little hot though, isn't it?
And we'll see you next week.
All right, guys. I'll come up with a catchphrase to end out each segment too.
All right, sweet.
Cool. Awesome. All right.
All right.
See you.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. Thanks, Ralph. Now we're going to go into Colleen's new music segment on the Jay and Jack Show. So take it away, Colleen.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the music segment here on the Jay and Jack Show. My name is Colleen. You might know me from the MetroBuzz podcast, and I'm going to be your guide, your host, your Ryan Seacrest of sorts, and introduce you to some of the newest and hottest music out there today. We're going to kick off our first ever segment here with an interview that I was lucky enough to conduct with one of my favorite up-and-coming artists, Brendan James. So without further ado, let's get into it. So we're here this week with Brendan James, a singer-songwriter who I actually discovered first in New York City back in February 2007. Originally from Derry, New Hampshire, like Jay and Jack, Brendan relocated briefly to the Raleigh area of North Carolina, where he attended UNC at Chapel Hill. And then afterwards, he ended up in New York. Brendan's new album, The Day is Brave, was released last week on June 3rd, so you can check it out on iTunes by typing in Brendan James. So, Brendan, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for coming. First, I actually have to apologize that my voice is a little hoarse. I was actually at the Billy Joel concert last night, and a lot of yelling and cheering and singing has made me sound a little bit mannish, I guess.
Oh, my gosh. Where was the concert? I heard about that.
I was at Mohegan Sun.
That's fun.
It was great. But I guess enough about Billy Joel. Let's talk about you. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your new album, The Day is Brave?
Sure. It's an 11-song album that did. It just came out last week on June 3rd. And I've been working for a few years to get it out there. I have a record label behind me, and we got a release date, and a lot of promotion is going into getting it out there. So it feels really good. It feels really good to have my debut record in the stores finally.
So what was the process of how this all came about? Because I remember meeting you ever so briefly, I think in passing back that first time I saw you in February, and I think that was just when somebody in the audience had said that you had just signed someplace, so we're over a year later. I guess this was a very long process to where you've ended up now.
Yeah, it does. It takes a while. I was making an album with a producer while I was unsigned. I made my album with Michael Blue, back, let's see, we finished the main tracking in July of last year, of 2007. So it took, you know, about, and in December I was signed to Decca Records. So it took a good, you know, 6 months to kind of get signed with the album, and now since December we've really just been trying to promote it, and I'm trying to tour my butt off, basically. You know what I mean?
Yeah, speaking of, you just got back from the West Coast, right?
Yeah, I had a show out there.
How did that go?
It was great. I love going to California. I love living in Brooklyn, but taking trips to L.A. is always fun for me. And I was able to see a lot of friends and some other musicians. I did some writing and, you know, just got to hang out in Hollywood a little and go to the beach. It was a good trip.
Nice. You were actually recently mentioned on PerezHilton.com. How did that feel?
You know, I'm not sure how he found the music. I was so surprised and flattered when I saw he put this huge picture of me up on his page and displayed the music, and it was awesome. I have been hearing about Perez for so many months now and just wondering if he'd ever, you know, get his hands on my music. So it's pretty cool day when that happened.
Now, the song that actually he had featured on there is the song that really made me like your music, and I have a feeling that that's the song that we're going to be playing to kind of entice people to go check out The Day Is Brave, and it's called Green. There's a funny little story behind Green, right?
Yeah, kind of. It's, you know, people always say, how did you write a whole song about a color? And it's really not much about the color as much as it is about the girl who used to wear the color all the time. And she was just a girl that was my girlfriend for a few years while I worked at Urban Outfitters in New York. When I first moved here a few years ago, that's where I got my job to pay the rent. So she was one of the people that I met, you know, when I first moved to New York City. And among many things about her, she sure liked the color green and wore it. So when we broke up, that was on my mind a lot.
Gotcha. Now, has she heard the song, and does she still talk to you and be like, hey, that's
we actually are still friends, and which is always nice when that can happen. And she has heard the song, and she loves it, so that's nice to know.
Yeah, so everybody out there, when you're sampling through the his album, when you're about to buy it, definitely check out the song Green first, because that is definitely a fantastic song. It's got a great little piano bridge in there. It's great. So then, what would be, I don't know if I want to ask you if what your favorite song would be, or what song you've written that actually means the most to you?
That's a good question. It's tough. A lot of them, especially now that I see them on an album finally, they're meaning a lot to me. And I think if I had to choose one, it would be one called Hero's Song. And it's kind of about a soldier's struggle in the current war in Iraq. And I've never really written a song that's, you know, about a war or that borders on politics. And, you know, so with this one, I tried to not make it about Democrats or Republicans. And just because of the topic, I think it means the most to me to sing these days.
So then what was your inspiration behind that? Like, I mean, how did that come? I mean, obviously, I know what the inspiration was, but how did you come to be writing a song about a soldier?
Gosh, another good question, because I don't really know. I think it's been, you know, 5 or 6 years now that we've been involved over there, and you just see it all over the television and in magazines and movies and TV shows, and it's like, I just felt bombarded with it, and I sit down at the piano all the time to try to start new songs, and it was just on my mind so much, you know?
Yeah.
So, and since then it's affiliated with a new film called Body of War, and it's an amazing documentary that a bunch of other people have asked to be, you know, the soldier himself, who the movie is about, has asked a bunch of people to use their music, and John Lennon and Eddie Vedder, and he just called me, and he asked to use that song, so it's pretty nice that it has a home now.
That is actually incredible. You're going to be featured alongside John Lennon and Eddie Vedder.
I was blown away. I was like, really? Okay.
Wow. So, now I warned you I was going to bring this up. The song Early April Morning actually has a special place in my heart. I met my boyfriend one April morning actually in North Carolina right outside of Chapel Hill. I was staying in Chapel Hill at the time. So when I found out all these background stories and heard the song, I was like, this is like my really ultimate, you know, relationship, corny relationship type song. Not that the song is corny, but, you know, the way you associate it.
Trust me, you know, I know what you mean, and it's a very special song to me. It's pretty much the most important love of my life that I met on an early April morning. So it's really just a song about true love and you know, about that one moment that it kind of hits you.
Nice. Yeah, I've got to say that when I first heard that song, I was blown away. It's a beautiful song, and then, you know, everyone else, go out there, please check out that song too, and think of Brendan's girlfriend, and then just think of how I'm melting as I'm listening to it.
There's something about, yeah, that song, when I was writing it, I literally was just, I was in Charleston, South Carolina when I wrote it, and it was just one of those days where it was in April, and it was, the way the clouds were, and the rain, and the sun, it was just, you know, the sun sometimes pokes through the clouds when it's raining, and one of those really brisk, fresh days, and I just had such a visual of that in my mind when I was writing it.
Yeah, golf claps for you.
Thank you.
But so where can people check out your music? Do you want to give everybody the lowdown one more time?
Obviously, iTunes is maybe the easiest for a lot of people, but it'll also be at Borders Books and Best Buy and Barnes & Noble, I guess three B's. And I think Amazon.com also. Please come visit me on MySpace.
That's MySpace.com/BrendanJames. Well, thank you so much for talking to us, Brendan.
Thanks so much for having me, Colleen.
So that about does it for our first segment here on the Jay and Jack Show. Make sure that you check out Brendan James's MySpace page for a complete list of tour dates, including but not limited to stops in Florida, North Carolina, California, Massachusetts, New York, Texas, Wisconsin, Arizona, Ohio, Maryland, and much, much more. And don't forget to head to your nearest music store, bookstore, Amazon.com, iTunes, or wherever you get your new music from, and pick up Brendan's The Day Is Brave. We're going to leave you now with a special preview of his new single, Green. If you have any questions, comments, requests, recommendations, or even submissions of your own music, email them in to my email address here through the Jay and Jack Show, collrocks@gmail.com. That's collrocks@gmail.com. All right, enjoy this brand new single from Brendan James, and we'll catch you later.
It finds me close to you again. Reminds me of everything we said. It blinds me. It rushes through my head. It finds me close to you again. Mother moves to town again. Holds her upside down again. Said it's nice to see her. Brenda, now you've got to come. She's where I get my smile from. I'd like for you to meet her. Now Andrea was pain and pride. A step behind, oh how she tried. I loved her. And all she wore from head to floor was shades of green from our store. I loved her. Oh, oh. Green reminds me of everything we did. It blinds me. It rushes through my head. It finds me close to you again. Green reminds me of everything we said. It blinds me. It rushes through my head. It finds me close to you again. Wish I could have said three words that night. Oh me, oh me, oh me. Now green reminds me of everything we did. It blinds me. It rushes through my head. It finds me close to you.
The five questions for
Jay.
The five questions for Jay. What will I say? Nobody knows. One thing's for sure, almost anything goes. The five questions for Jay.
All right, so last Monday's episode...
I got 2 out of 5.
You got 2 out of 5, which does not qualify you for a point on the tally board.
Even though I had one question where I hadn't even seen the movie.
Whoa, what's up with that? That's okay.
So you got 2, so they weren't that hard.
Yeah. These aren't... I don't think these are too terribly difficult.
Okay. I don't know, I have a feeling that these are going to be like the most insanely tough questions
ever. I don't think they are.
Okay.
I don't think they are. Number 1.
All right.
You're a big Bill Murray fan, aren't you?
Yeah, sure. Is this like something like, what's Bill Murray's birthday? Because that kind of crap is not cool.
No, I did not. Come on. Give me a little more credit than that.
I don't know. I have a feeling it's going to be something really general like that. Because you do that with Jimmy Page.
How old is Bill Murray?
Let's see.
How old? The question again. How old?
I'm going to say definitely 50s. I feel like he was born in 1945. That's what I'm feeling in my gut.
1945?
Or maybe 1955. Maybe 1950. Definitely in like the, you know, first 10 years of the baby boomers. I'm going to say 56.
So close.
What was it?
57.
Oh, man.
So close. And this September 21st, I think, is his birthday. He'll be 58.
Okay.
So, but you're close.
All right.
57. Close. Number two. So you're 0 for 1 so far.
Okay.
Not bad. What year did Ghostbusters... What year was Ghostbusters 2 released?
Released?
Yeah.
1989?
1989. All right. 1 for 2. Not bad. Okay. What was the name of Jack Black's character in the movie The Cable Guy? It's just a one... Just his first name. It's all you need.
Yeah, I'm feeling Mitch. That's what I'm feeling. But that's probably not it.
Hey, Mitch.
I'm trying to think of Matthew Broderick saying it, but I don't remember him saying his name that much.
Hey, Mitch. Mitchy Mouse. Mitchy Mouse.
I'm going to just say Mitch.
It is Rick.
Rick. Ah, okay.
That was close. 1 for 3. I thought you were a big fan of The Cable Guy.
I am a big fan of The Cable
Guy. And we just watched the bio of
But they didn't say his name, and I haven't seen The Cable Guy in a while. I let Michelle borrow it. Did she ever give that back?
No, I still have one of her movies, too.
Okay.
So, there. Okay, you're a big Lost fan?
Yes.
Huge Lost. Would you say you're a huge Lost fan?
Oh, yeah, sure. I say both of us are huge Lost fans.
Okay, big Lost fan, though.
Sure.
Okay. Okay, it's been on for 4 years.
For 4 years, yes.
How many episodes have there been?
All right, let's see. First season, I think there was 25 or 24. Next season was 23. The season after that was 22, and this season had 15. So let's see, 20.
Now I got this off Wikipedia.
Let's see. So 24 plus 20.
This makes for good radio when someone's doing a calculator.
22. Less 15 equals 84. So it's like either 84 or 85 episodes.
I need an answer.
Hold on. I'm trying to think.
Deal or no deal?
Hold on.
Okay. What are you doing now?
Looking at the calendar.
Now he's cheating.
I'm not cheating.
He's okay. Actually got a calendar out.
I'm trying to think September 22nd,
2004.
I'm trying to, because it was Christmas Eve when it was, what, like episode 5? So,
I guess. He's cheating, people.
I'm not cheating.
He's cheating. You're cheating. Did I get to use a calendar when I did my contest?
Okay, fine. I'm going to say 84, final answer.
83.
Ah!
There's only 14 episodes this year.
14? I thought there was 15.
No, that last one didn't count as one. They said 14 episodes on Wikipedia.
But 15 counts. It was 2 episodes.
No. Wikipedia.
That's two parts. Parts Sorry. Two and three.
No. One episode. Had one title. Sorry.
It had three parts, though. No, then you can't count Exodus part one and two either.
I'm just going by what Wikipedia said. Oh, 83 episodes. I'm just, hey.
Bull crap.
Wikipedia is never wrong.
Yeah, they are sometimes. What?
One count. Sorry, one for four. Oh, man. I had such high hopes for you.
Oh, whatever. Go.
Wow. Woo. Annie Potts from Ghostbusters was in a movie with Molly Ringwald. What was it?
That was just on TV.
Yes, it was. That's why I brought it on.
What was that? Wasn't it like 16 Candles or something? Let me think. We'll say 16 Candles.
Sorry, Jay.
What is it?
Don't you forget about me. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Is that it? Don't.
Pretty in Pink.
Pretty in Pink.
You were 1 for 5. All your favorite shows, all your favorite actors,
you know,
and actresses.
All right.
Man. 1 for 5.
Whatever.
So, I guess you lose.
I guess I do. But we're both still 0-0. Yeah. So
tough break there. Even if I gave you the Ghostbuster, I mean, the Lost thing.
Yeah, but I was generally close on all of those.
Yeah,
so.
Close doesn't get you the...
Doesn't matter. It still shows that I have knowledge about the subject, okay? Unlike yours, was like, oh.
It does not get you anything. At least you've seen all these things. I had never even seen the movie.
But I gave away one to you.
I would have known it anywhere.
No.
I knew the Hulk.
Yes, I did. All right. You ready to close the show, Jack?
Yeah, you're just bitter.
I'm just saying.
Pull your pants up and put a smile on your face. Man.
Close up the show.
What do you call this episode?
I don't know. What are you going to call it?
Just you're bitter. You're just not happy.
I'm not bitter. I'm just saying. Sometimes, when you do questions,
Sometimes you got to take it like a man.
Fine. I have. I lost.
Because next
I'm
week,
accepting
wait,
that I
wait,
lost.
Wait till Ralph gets his questions. They're not going to be little easy questions.
Whatever.
But there are, I mean, come on. How old is Bill Murray? That's an easy question. You're a big Ghostbuster 2. I gave you that one.
Okay.
I gave you the Ghostbuster 2 one. I knew you'd know that.
Yeah.
Jack Black. It was one Rick.
It was Rick. Mitch. One of those like names
Rick.
Like that. All
Many
right.
Episodes ago, Annie Potts was in a movie with Molly Ringwald we had just watched on
I didn't
TV.
Look at the title. I was playing Risk. All right. You ready to close out the show, Jack?
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. All right, guys, that is our show for this Thursday.
Yay!
Remember, if you do want to check out the Married Man segment of this show, subscribe to the Married Man podcast, which will be turned over to the Jay and Jack Show Uncut.
Just a small warning, if you're at IHOP, you may not want to listen to the Married Man podcast till after your stomach is settled. It's kind of scary.
It is a little bit scary.
It's not. I guess it's not as bad as I'm making it out to be, but only Dale or Warm Taffy could come up with
something that wrong. If you'd like to send us an email,
send us an email at
jayandjack@gmail.com.
Okay, it's jayandjack@gmail.com.
And our number is, wait till it loads here, 206-202-5270.
Yeah, and if you want to send us any comments, any segments we've done so far, if you want to do a comment on the hybrid comment segment.
Any segment, actually. If you want to comment about it, send us a call.
If you want to comment on how guys should pull their pants up and just be normal like the rest of us.
Or how guys should not wear their hair long, like hippies.
Well, I don't do that.
You did.
But I don't.
Because you're old now. You don't have any more hair.
Well, there's nothing wrong with wearing your hair long.
Back then, it was seemed that way.
Yeah.
All right. What do you got here, Jack?
Yeah, I got to go.
Why are you so like, you're like chill? Last Monday, you were like depressed, and I'm just like, yeah.
Well, I'm thinking about the 70s.
Oh, God. All right, we'll see you guys next Monday on the Jay and Jack Show. Hasta luego, and goodbye.
Bye.